Sis, who does he think he is?
I have some dirt.
Will you confirm or deny?
Maybe you should rephrase the
warning.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's focus.
From reality TV to real life, it's all just so dramatic with Megan Pistetto.
Welcome to another episode of So Dramatic. I'm Megan Pistetto. Last week we had the incredible Bachelor in Paradise star Abby Chatfield on. A lot of you were asking if she can co-host the show every week. No, she can't, unfortunately. You guys are stuck with just me, Soz. She dropped some huge bombshells about having sex in paradise, masturbating on The Bachelor. It even got a mention on the Kyle and Jackie O show.
You're on the air, Kyle and Jackie O.
Yeah, Abby from Bachelor in Paradise has lifted the lid on what actually goes down when two of the contestants start to get a bit, you know, hot and intimate. Well, she was doing a podcast, So Dramatic, this podcast is called, and there was a reason why it was they put a stop to it and that he just left. Oh. Have a listen.
When you're going to have sex with someone in paradise, or if someone stays in your bed, if they see you, like, touching each other, they're just like, we need to get you to record saying, are you consent? Dude, I would have probably slept with them if they didn't walk in and go, do you guys want to give consent?
So that's what happened.
No wonder the romance was knocked right out of the joint.
I knew it was going to be very hard to top my chat with Abby, so I've tried to squeeze as much juice into this episode as possible. Coming up, we've got Jared Woodgate dropping some explosive, never-before-heard bombshells about his messy split with Kira Maguire, who is entering paradise on Sunday, and his girlfriend Sam Royce, who is also a Bachelor star, and best friends with Renee, Kieran's ex, is also joining us to answer all of the questions we have about what really happened with Kieran and Renee. And they also spill some tea about what happened on that infamous Bali trip before paradise that anyone who's anyone in Bachelor Nation seemed to be at. I've also got some juicy goss of my own about what is going to unfold on paradise this week. So much drama, such little time. Let's get into the show.
But you're like the last person we can tell things to.
I have some dirt.
So juicy. So I don't want this podcast to turn into a Bachelor in Paradise shrine, but that seems to be where the drama is happening on our screens at the moment. And wherever the drama goes, I also go. Gotta stay on brand. Speaking of on brand, fears for Jamie this week. We witnessed the most dramatic moment in Australian TV history on Wednesday night, Jamie's iconic meltdown. I've got the inside scoop. And this is going to be hard to believe, but someone who was in paradise at the same time said that his meltdown was actually 10 times worse in real life. They said he was absolutely hysterically crying and screaming for over 2 hours. The full meltdown goes for about 6 minutes. I wish I could play it all. I've shared it on Instagram if you want to check it out there. I've personally watched it about 800 times now. I'm obsessed with it. Take a listen.
I'm not dying. I'm not dead.
Don't leave me.
Shut up, bro. You'll be
right.
You'll be
right. Don't leave me home, man.
I'm not
you doing to me, bro.
I'm not staying here, man.
Dude.
So fucking dramatic. I cannot comprehend how it could have been worse. His meltdown is literally the spirit animal of this entire show. The whole episode, in my eyes, should have been dedicated to Jamie's meltdown. Someone put him on Neighbours, not to act, just to be himself. Actually, a little tidbit, he did audition for Neighbours after The Bachelorette wrapped last year. He got the Channel 10 producers to put in a good word for him and, yeah, he had an audition. Obviously, didn't get on, but, yeah, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He means well. Bless his little Birkenstocks.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This week on Paradise, we witnessed a first ever for the show. We saw the Bachelor blow-ins enter Fiji. Now, I am told that they got completely shunned during their stint in paradise. The original OG guys were really standoffish towards them and basically never accepted them into the fold or bothered to make them feel welcomed. I can just imagine some of the guys like Tim, Kieran, you know, that whole boys club group that, you know, they had the broco crap on Angie season. They would have been giving off total mean girl vibes to these guys, or mean, let's call it mean boy vibes, to these poor randoms who have basically been hired by Channel 10 as fillers for the show. They've come in not knowing anyone, and apparently the other guys were giving them full you can't sit with us vibes. How I imagine it is, the Batchy Blow-ins are Lindsay Lohan, bear with me. Tim would be the Regina George for sure. Kieran would be Karen Smith, the one with the long, blonde, stunning hair. And Jamie would be Gretchen Wiener. Oh my God, wow, that was such a beautiful analogy.
Oh my God, oh my God.
Speaking of mean boys, apparently Tim wasn't very popular in the house, which we did see play out a little bit last week. He threatened to leave the show after his stirring of the pot was not well received by the other contestants. I'm also told that he was a bit of a bully. He was quite rude, and another contestant described him as a pig. Not my words, someone else's. Apparently, he was not very nice to any of the girls, except Britt, who he was obviously partnered up with, and they all felt quite intimidated by him and were worried about who he was going to pick on or target next.
Oh my God, oh my God.
Okay, so who else is coming to Paradise? The question on everyone's lips. Spoiler ahead, flick forward if you do not want to know. So, arriving next week, we've got Jackson Garlick. He gets himself entangled in three love triangles. Yes, three. One with Kiki and Kieran. He was also speaking to Kiki before the show. Another one with Kieran and Renee. Renee is very keen on Jackson when he arrives on the island, which doesn't go down well with Kieran. Then he gets himself involved in a love triangle with Brittany and Cass, who also both wanted Jackson. So Jackson is hot property in Paradise, and I can see why. I mean, he is heir to a whole pie empire, which to me is the biggest draw card in a man ever. Imagine having a lifetime supply of pies. It's very Australian. So yes, he's hot property in Paradise. Everyone wanted a piece of him, or should I say piece of the pie. Other names still to arrive in Fiji. From Angie's season, we've got Matt Wyatt, Tom Bolridge, Scott Fuller. And from Richie's season, we've got Mia McKinnon and Kiki Morris, the blonde bombshell. Someone who won't be appearing is Emma Roche, the female version of Stage 5 clinger Jamie. Devastating news for us. She was great TV also. Love us a clinger here. Despite being a main character last season, she wasn't cast because basically she was a pain in the ass to producers. She was very difficult in post-production, making them cut particular things out about herself that she didn't like. She was constantly calling them and having a meltdown about certain things that were being aired, and basically production couldn't be bothered with her in Paradise. They didn't want the headache, basically. I just think her and Jamie need to hook up stat.
Do not fight amongst yourselves. Please come to me.
So will you confirm or deny?
At least you're honest with me.
So exclusive. So last week on Instagram, I shared an exclusive photo of some of the Bachelor contestants holidaying in Bali. So a few of the contestants had their own version of Bachelor in Paradise before Fiji. They organized it and kept it a secret from production. Very naughty. I posted a photo of it on Instagram this week, and turns out Bill Goldsmith was also there. Turns out Jess Power was also there, and Jared Woodgate was also there. So I've got Jared Woodgate and his girlfriend Sam on the phone now, and they are going to explain what happened on this infamous Bali trip.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. So you guys were in Bali on this trip?
Yes. Separately, and though.
Turns out everyone who was anyone was there.
You're trying to escape all that franchise thing, and you go to Bali, and everyone seems to be in the one place.
So it was just a coincidence that you ended up there, Jared. That's right. And you didn't know Sam at the time.
No, I didn't know any of them. I just went away on a, I just had the breakup, and I'm just like, I need time to myself just to chill out. So I decided to go to Bali for the first time, and it wasn't a chill out session. I ended up partying and having fun, and then bumping into some awesome people. I mean, Renee, Sam, I think I had Tara there. It was a good trip.
Tell me what happened. What happened on this trip? What was so explosive with, I mean, there was claims that Naranga and Renee hooked up. Can you guys confirm or deny what happened there?
They definitely did not hook up. Renee and Kieran were like head over heels in love. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. And Naranga was just friends. There's definitely no hooking up between Renee and Naranga.
Sam would know.
I can vouch that Naranga was not in Renee's bed. He was, in fact, in my bed. So,
ooh la la. Love that for you, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, Tara and Scott were hooking up. Renee and Kieran were hooking up. And Naranga and I were just like, hey, we're the only ones left. So, yeah, no, definitely nothing happened between Renee and Narenga.
So Scott Fuller and Tara from your season as well were hooking up. So it was basically a bachi orgy. Everyone recoupled. It was a Love Island vibe. Now, Renee and Kieran were together at this holiday. Can you tell me what happened with them? Like, so they got back together after the show. What's your take on this whole Renee and Kieran saga?
Yes, so as soon as Kieran left the mansion, Renee gave me a call and was like, guess who I'm picking up from the airport? And I was like, you are kidding. And she was so excited. She was like, yep, he called me, told me he is still in love with me and we're getting back together. So from day dot, when he left the mansion, they were back together. And that's why we thought we'd organise this trip, because I'd only spoken to Renee and Kieran over FaceTime. I was in Melbourne and they were up here in Darwin, but I'd never actually met them in person. So I was very excited to go to Bali and meet him and double check that he wasn't going to hurt her again, because I'm a bit protective of her and he'd already broken her heart a couple of times.
What do you mean?
So, yeah, so they had actually been a bit on and off. He used to, in my understanding, ditch Renee when something better would come along. And I was very wary that he was going to do that again, especially knowing that the Bachelorette was going to be airing and he was probably going to be quite a big character. And he is a very likable guy, very charming. And, yeah, I really, really liked him. The Bali holiday was so much fun. And he definitely charmed all of us girls. And we were like, Renee, he's a keeper.
We're in Bali. You're all getting along.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened?
Well, when we all met, I met Kieran at the same time as I met the girls, and that was at Mississippi. The first conversation we were having was he actually got on my bad side, because he started telling me how he had no affection for Angie, didn't like her at all. And then he ended up having to come up with all these excuses and put on an act so Australia would still love him, and he had to try and find a way to leave the mansion to therefore go to Bali with Renee. And he came up with some excuse that it was his grand's funeral, which apparently had already happened before this moment. So,
wait, what?
For one, Angie's my friend, and I'm annoyed at him. I don't like him for that fact, that he's just gone on the show and just used and abused her. And second of all, taking advantage of Renee. And it's just not on. So, really, I didn't want anything to do with him while I was in Bali. I hung out with the girls more than... and then just left him do his thing. He openly told me, a complete stranger, he openly told me. And I'm just like, nah, that's not on. Like, don't make up this crap lie that you're leaving the Bachelor Mansion so you can go to your grand's funeral, when in fact you're going to the airport to be picked up by Renee to go to Bali because you love her, and then use her. So
what, he admitted to you that he left the mansion because of Renee and not because of his nan's funeral?
Yeah. And correct. In Kieran's defence, he was really trying to win us over, because he wanted to convince us that he was deserving of Renee. So he told us about this plan that he came up with, because he realised he was still in love with Renee, didn't like Angie at all, and he said, I need to find a way to leave without Australia hating me. And that's what producers do. If you leave, they can edit your departure however they like. So he came up with this plan that, because his nana had passed away a few weeks earlier, the funeral had actually already happened before he even went on his single date. He thought, I'm going to use that because they will sympathise with me. And he was telling us how he completely acted the entire scene. The tears were fake and he was so proud of himself because the producers and Angie bought it and fell for it and believed every word he was saying.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Holy crap. Like, someone get this guy a gig on Home and Away. Like,
but hang on, he did say he wanted to try and improve. He wanted to... help out his acting career. So potentially what he's done is he's tried to help himself and set himself up for life, and said he wanted to do it for him and Renee, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he mentioned that.
Yeah, he wanted to give them a better life.
Wow.
A better life.
In Sydney.
But in fact, he was already thinking about the other girl next door. So
you don't think he ever liked Angie?
No, he said he didn't. He said none of the boys that he had in his group liked Angie. They didn't have any feelings for her. And I'm just like, that's a dick move, man. Like, you
wow.
know, I was coming out of a breakup and the last thing I need to hear from some guy is that he's just pretending to play the show. Like, not on. I went through hard yards on that show, and to to go through what I went through and then to have to see this guy that everybody likes now. But that's the problem. People go on the shows, people like those first characters that they see, but then they start to unfold and then they start to realize what they're actually like and get the understanding that they're not actually that nice guy. They're an actor. They're a performer. They like to play up for the crowd, and that's what he is. That's what he does. He's good at it.
Rewatch that scene of when he was bawling his eyes out to Angie, knowing that they are completely fake tears. And I would 100%, if I was him, just chop that seed, send it off to Home and Away and be like, here is my audition.
Oh my God.
Angie, he would get on in a heartbeat.
Angie must have been, like, when all this came out, Angie must have been a bit like, what the hell this week as well. She's probably
upset
too.
Didn't Angie message Renee and just say, oh, look, you're such a brave girl. Well done for standing up. I can't believe you did that. Like, there was, they've been chatting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She reached out to Renee and just said that she's really sorry that Renee had to go through that, that she had no idea, and that Renee has her full support.
Well, it seems like Renee's got a lot of support behind her, which is good to hear.
Well, she does, and I think people just need to keep watching the story because she is a beautiful person and she just deserves the best. People just need to open their eyes to everything and watch everything very closely because as he keeps going on about it, as Kieran said, I've told everyone I've cheated on you. I've told everyone I've cheated on you, but that's not the reason. Renee had to lie about what you did to Angie and on The Bachelorette. So that is a lot of weight on someone's shoulders that is also trying to go through the show and experience it themselves. Yet they're dealing with his stuff as well. So
poor Renee. Ugh, so many lies. What about the funeral? Was that a lie too? Was there a funeral?
No, he never went to the funeral. So this is what he told us. And I mean, he might have told us incorrect details, but he told us that it was his great nan who passed away.
Right.
And she passed away mid filming, but the funeral had already occurred. And that had occurred before he even went on his single date. So he wasn't leaving the mansion to go to a funeral. He was leaving the mansion to go home to Renee.
Wow.
But used the excuse of his nan to be able to get out of there without the producers editing him in a way that Australia would hate him.
We've already got examples. Like you look at Abby and then you look at Jet. Like he's just picking them off one by one. And you look at Cass. Like that's who he is. And people are starting to see that and he's starting to come unfold because people are looking at what he's doing on TV and, well, that's exactly who he is and that's what he's about. And, well, we don't want him in Renee's life anyway. And if he comes back crawling, it's not happening.
Has he hit up Renee recently?
Sam?
They're in contact.
They are?
Renee is still very concerned about his mental health. So even though he has done all this shit to her, she still tries to protect him and still tries to defend him and is still there supporting him, which I can't understand. And I have told her a number of times that she shouldn't be in contact with him after what he's done to her, but she is the kindest soul. And I think that's what happens when you've been in a manipulative relationship is they keep reeling you back in. So fingers crossed once BIP finishes airing, she might cut him off.
Yeah, and I mean, coming from me, I've done it twice already, so I would know. I've learnt my lesson, and I'm trying to put it on for Renee to know that, you know what, he's just using you for the show so he feels better about himself, and you're there to make sure he feels better about himself, and you're not focusing on yourself. So therefore, you basically need to ditch it because he knows he's done the wrong thing and he's going to get found out, and Renee's just too much of a kind person to say no, especially after everything that's happened.
Were they broken up when they went on their seasons of The Bachelor?
Yeah, so Kieran had broken up with Renee. So she went off and aired her season, only away for a week or two because she left so early. And it wasn't until she got back that Kieran found out she had gone on the show and in retaliation applied to Angie's season.
Get out. So he went on to get back at her.
He did.
Isn't that hard to get on? And then he's just clicked his finger and he's on the show. Like, he's a pretty good talent.
The producers were aware that Renee was his ex.
They would have planned it from the start.
Get out. Why? Like, so that this could play out in Paradise. Is that how far in advance they plan this stuff?
Well, they probably weren't even thinking about Paradise, just for the fact that it could make it interesting down the track.
It's
just lay by an idea that could come up or could happen.
So they were hooking up again in between Matt's season and Angie's season. but weren't officially together when Kieran went off to film Angie's season.
What happened between Bali and Paradise? Sam, you moved to from Melbourne to Darwin to live with Renee. You guys are best friends now.
Yeah.
You started living together?
Yeah, so initially the plan was that when I moved up, I would move in with Kieran and Renee for a couple of weeks until I worked out where I wanted to live. And then I actually moved to Darwin while Paradise was being filmed. So I was in a hotel for a couple of weeks and then Renee got back from filming and I moved straight away in with her. So there was still remnants of Kieran in the apartment, but he was definitely not living there when I moved in.
Why did they break up? What happened between Bali and Fiji?
Kieran and Renee were very happy until he got a little bit famous. So Kieran went away for a wedding and came back and told Renee that he had cheated on her. And Renee very does not agree with cheating and was like, you can get out of my house right now.
And that's the bombshell that we saw obviously play out on TV. And it was just that one time,
so,
right?
Well, that's what Renee thought until we were sitting there last week watching and he admitted to everyone he'd actually cheated on her multiple times. So he didn't even have the decency to tell her that or to give her a heads up, hey, I actually cheated on you a few times and it's going to come out on TV. She had to sit there on the couch and watch that air and find out that he had cheated on her multiple times.
So she only found out that he cheated on her with multiple people when Australia did on the show last week.
And the worst it was, he made it out as if she knew and she kept taking him back and then he cheated again and the relationship didn't end. When she has zero tolerance for cheating and there is absolutely no way if she knew he'd been cheating on her for that long that she would have let him stay with her. Yeah, he dropped a little bit of a bombshell on her.
And how did she handle that?
To be honest, she is the strongest person I know. I think the stuff that she's struggled mostly with in terms of handling the show is all the hate that she's been getting from the Kieran fans. She's been getting death threats. She's been getting called whore, bitch. So many direct messages, so many comments on her photo for all of his following, sticking up for him, saying, how dare you say that stuff about him on TV. She actually had to have a day off work to just literally lie in bed sit and delete all of his messages that were coming.
She's getting death threats.
So horrible.
Wow, that's wild.
She's getting death threats over being honest about a guy cheating on her.
I felt like everyone would have been behind her. I feel like she handled herself really well.
I guess that's the thing is that when somebody is very popular, they're going to have fans who are completely vicious and stand up for them no matter what. So unfortunately, she's copped a lot of that.
Wow. Is it hard for you, like, living with someone while the show's airing because there's so much, I guess, scandal and not only scandal but the secrecy around the whole thing and then, you know, having Renee being upset? Like, how is that for you?
I think, like, she's handling it so well. I think the worst part of it is I'm friends with a lot of people who went on the show and seeing the dynamics change and just having people not come clean to each other before it airs about the shit that they've spoken and people backstabbing you on TV and you finding out when Australia does rather than people coming to you. So I think it's just brutal. It's absolutely brutal and there's a lot of cast members who are struggling because of the hate that's happening between cast members and these teams that people seem to be picking and fights that are happening. So, yeah, I can't wait till it's over.
Jared, what's the go with you and Kira? So there's so many reports about this big feud that you guys are having, but then I see pictures of you guys together at the polo and you seem to be getting along just great. What's the go?
Well, the polo trip and feud. Okay, the feud, I mean, we're not really having a feud. To be honest with you, I've put all that behind me now. Like, it's in the past, and I've definitely moved on from it all, and I just want to continue doing that. But as for the polo, that was the last time I saw her, and that wasn't a good experience. Because I'm friends with Alicia, I was hanging out with Alicia, and I was talking to her, and then Kira came up to me and just said, oh, you shouldn't trust her, don't hang out with her, she's a bitch. You need to be hanging out with people like me. And I'm like, well, hang on a second. She's my friend. I've been hanging out with her and I like her and I like the person she is. So, and it's my choice because obviously this issue between Kira and Alicia goes way back.
Yeah, what's all that about?
Look, It's got nothing to do with Renee. It's got nothing to do with Sam. I think when I was with Kira and the second season of Batch in Paradise was on, Kira was sending messages to Alicia, like verbally abusing her, saying, how dare you steal our idea or our storyline, or literally having a go at her because of what she was, how she was with Jules. It was just weird because she would then take all her energy to write to Alicia to have a go at her about how she's acting on TV, and then it just causes so much drama in the real world.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to say things without putting my foot in it because I know whenever, okay, so whenever I say something, if I say something about Kira and I'm just openly talking about it, it's giving her ammo to come back to me with something through interviews and to earn money and get that publicity, and I don't want to do that. So I'm just being very mindful of how I answer them.
No, you mean she's angry that yeah. Alicia and Jules copied Kira and Jared's storyline?
Correct.
How did that copy?
That was her main issue. Exactly. I think it's more about Kira wanting to stay in the limelight, wanting to be the center of attention, wanting to have that publicity, wanting to have the best experience on Batch in Paradise, being on the first season. It looks good for her and it looks good for her profile because, you know, obviously publicity, it's her job and it's her lifestyle. So I can appreciate that. She's got to do anything to be able to get an article written about her, to get some cash, to get extra jobs and extra gigs. So that's her business.
So why does she hate Alicia? I don't understand.
Jealousy.
Because she was the main character last season?
Yes, because Alicia was just being who she was. Kira didn't like who she was on The Batch in Paradise. So therefore, it's just a reflection of who you are. And I think that's why she would just retaliate.
Do you think that it's got something to do with the fact that Alicia is friends with you, Sam, and you're now dating Kira's ex?
I mean, I've actually never met Kira or been in the same location as her. So I don't have much to do with her. I haven't caught a vibe onto that. I do know that Alicia is obviously very supportive of Renee, and I believe that Kira is very supportive of Kieran. So I don't know whether or not it's that two camp thing coming back. But yeah, I've never had a run-in or a problem with Kira myself at all.
You're lucky. You're going to get a better understanding of what my life was for the past 2 years when you watch this one episode, I think. I would much rather hang out with beautiful people on the inside than have to worry about being with someone that thinks they have to be beautiful on the outside and not worry about the inside.
Can you give us any tea about what's going to unfold? I think it's Sunday night.
They have that argument. So I think Alicia tries to clear stuff up with Kira, but once Kira puts herself in a situation that she knows she can't handle or get out of, which is when she goes defensive, and then she'll start abusing you and she'll start yelling at you, and then she'll just cut you off like you're nothing in a conversation. And that's Kira. Yeah, hopefully the Kieran and Kira thing, they don't gang up together while on Batch in Paradise, because those two together could be dangerous.
When's the last time you spoke to Kira?
So first time I spoke to her and the last time I spoke to her, she came up to me and she goes, because I try to stay away from her, and she goes, oh, look, the patches are there. Do you want to make out for them? And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, let's get some tabloids happening. I'm like, no. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I'm dating Sam, and, well, you're Kira, so no. And, yeah, so that was our last conversation. It was an eye-opener to what I was actually going through with it.
A bit awkward. Why did you break up? Kira said you ghosted her. Something about a boozy night out. Something about you breaking a bed. What happened?
Look, I mean, the whole ghosting and breaking bed, like, with what she's been putting out there with these articles is 100% not true. I mean, I don't want to – there are a lot of things that there's actually everything that I haven't said what was wrong with the relationship, because when Kira went out and did all her articles and sold to the tabloids that I was this and I was that, it would really affect me, and it would really basically drag me down, and it's just – I didn't want to retaliate. So I learned from the first time not to retaliate, because anything you give to Kira in the tabloid, she'll come back and she'll try and – give it back to you tenfold. It's, as I said, she loves the attention, but the attention is her business. So she will use and manipulate any situation to get that publicity for her business.
The very start when you started dating, everyone was kind of assuming that it was a big publicity stunt and, you know, it was all just for the attention and the fame, I guess. Is there any truth to that? Did it start off like that and you guys then fell in love, or was it completely genuine from the get-go?
Look, I went on that show to find the one. And, I wanted to fall in love. I've been through it with Sophie Monk and it didn't work out. And I just wanted to make it happen, make it work. So I went in as hard as I did. And we got out of Batch in Paradise with the relationship. But I think the concern and issue was the fact that she wanted to continue that limelight of a relationship. And I just wanted to focus on our relationship. So I wasn't in that frame of mind. I'm not sure if 50% of that was with Kira or not. But after the breakup and all the articles that were written about me that were lies, I can understand now that maybe that could be a possibility. Because all my friends have said it to me and I'm like, no, it's not true. And they're like, man, it's happening to you right now.
Wow. Well, watch this space, I guess. Yeah. Lots of drama to unfold still.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
See ya. Bye.
This is bad behavior. Everybody calm down. It's a case for the FBI.
So scandalous. Detective Meg on the case again this week, guys. So I'm going to chat a little bit about Brittany and Tim's relationship and what I kind of predict is going to happen here based off some very telling clues and hints and some inside info. Okay. So we discovered this week that Kieran had been talking to his ex Renee during Angie's season. Apparently, it turns out Tim was also doing the same with his ex. So I can confirm that Tim and Brittany are not still together, but they do end Paradise together. Brittany even visited Tim's parents in Terrigal over Christmas, but Tim ended things with her a few weeks after that and she was left devastated. Then, this week, Tim has been spotted with a mystery brunette. There was photos of them on Daily Mail. Now, the mystery brunette is his ex-girlfriend, Bridget, who actually personally confirmed to me after The Bachelorette last year that her and Tim originally dated for 5 years and that they had been on and off for the last 2 years. This is just after Angie's season wrapped. Tim told Bridget just before Angie's season that he was going on the show and she wasn't happy because they weren't over yet. There was still unfinished business there. So she didn't want him to go. She wanted to work things out with him, but by that stage it was too late. He'd already signed up for the show. I am told that they were still in contact during Angie's season and Tim hadn't gotten over their breakup and would talk about her constantly in the house. They then got back together once he got off the show and have been on and off since. In the midst of all this, he somehow fitted in a stint in Paradise and a short-lived romance with Britt Hockley somewhere in the middle. So basically, Tim is Kieran 2.0. Who could believe that that could happen twice in one show? Now, I've got photos of Tim and his ex-girlfriend, current girlfriend, whatever. I'm going to pop those on Instagram today so you guys can take a look at those. Check it out at Dramatic Podcast. I'll share the tea there.
Oh my God.
So Dramatic with Megan Pacetto.
So that's all the tea I've got for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any requests for people you want me to get on, any specific questions you want answered, or if you have any juicy goss for me, funny memes, whatever, slide into my DMs at Megan Pacetto or at Dramatic Podcast. Also, a big thank you to everyone who kept sending me updates of the podcast rankings throughout the week. We managed to debut in the top 100. I was worried I spammed everyone a little too much this week. I felt like I was becoming the Tom Gleason of the podcast charts. But if I surpass my queen, Oprah, on the charts, I promise I will have a Jamie-style meltdown for you all to celebrate.
I'm not doing any pain.
I'm not staying here, man.
Dude.
But seriously, thank you to everyone who shared, listened, rated, reviewed, subscribed, or simply told a friend or gave us a follow on Facebook. I'm so grateful and happy that you're all loving So Dramatic so much. Now, this is starting to sound like a Logie's acceptance speech, so I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you for listening to another episode of So Dramatic. I can't wait to bring you more of the juiciest scoops next time.
Oh my God.
So Dramatic with Megan Pacetto.